Welcome to this reading from Warming Trend by Karen Callmaker. From Chapter 2, we join Eve after a busy catering day, remembering how she first met Annie 3 years ago. She let Tonk out for a last investigation of the yard and wandered to the edge of the deck that stretched the length of the house. She loved the faint aroma of cedar that clung to the new siding. The temperature couldn't be much cooler than about 50. With sunset finally approaching, nature's fireworks of green and gold, with rare flares of vibrant pink, were dancing over the northern horizon. Maybe it was the clank of Tonk's collar, or the rising lights, or simply that it was summer. Whatever the reason, her earlier thoughts of Annie couldn't be pushed away so easily. Their first date had been a night like this one. And Annie's first words? "You make the deviled eggs the way my mother did." Eve had glanced up, trying to look as if she was paying attention, and only got a quick glimpse of neck. She plated more smoked salmon, toasted rye bread, and seasoned cream cheese before she glanced again, this time much higher up. The woman was black-haired and very tall, probably the tallest person in the room, and Eve knew that if she'd ever seen her before, she'd have remembered. "It's just a basic recipe and some fancy work with a piping bag, but thank you." "Spicy mustard." The woman licked her fingers with such casualness that Eve knew she had to be a student, not faculty. She also didn't look much past 25, and her well-worn jeans and practical wind shear vest over a plain white button-up shirt underscored her student budget. She couldn't be just any student, though, not at a faculty soiree. "Grad assistant," Eve decided. "Do I use it? Well, I can't stand it if it's just mayonnaise." Taking into account that the last thing people did at these parties was talk to the caterer, she asked, "Is this your first event like this?" She got a nod in return. "I was just accepted to the doctoral program at Glacier Port. Monica Tyndall is going to be my advisor." "Congratulations." Eve was impressed. "Professor Tyndall is a bona fide, pardon the pun, rock star." "Are you a student?" The woman gestured at the table and plates. "Working your way through?" Eve laughed, even though she didn't give the young woman many points for powers of observation. "Aren't you sweet? I'm older than I look. I own the company doing the catering." "Oh, that's cool. You must love food."
"I do."
"So you're running your business, and what makes you happy?"
"Well, I was never much of a student. You probably have more education than I do."
The woman frowned, her dark eyebrows assuming a deep V.
"What's that got to do with anything?"
"Nothing. It's just, Eve arranged another plate of food for a faculty member who gave a vague nod of recognition. She'd catered his holiday party 6 months ago. After he wandered away, she finished, "This particular group of people puts a high value on alphabets after your name. I have none, so..."
"My father didn't have any, and he knew more than most of the profs at Glacier Port. But they wouldn't let him teach there because his knowledge was mostly hands-on. So I know what you mean."
"Not your typical rock student at all," Eve decided. Glacier Port was fairly exclusive, and she was used to being looked at from on high. "Are you following in his footsteps?" A small part of Eve's mind was noting that she'd never seen anyone with nearly black eyes before. "Well, that's my plan. With the alphabet soup after my name, it'll be doctor by call by the time I'm done."
"Well, good luck."
She wiped her hands on her chef's apron and extended her right hand. "I'm Eve."
"Annie."
The clasp of hands across the serving table lasted long enough for Eve to take a quick breath and think, "Well, she's gay. Good." Whatever Annie thought didn't show in those dark eyes, but she said, "What are you doing after this?"
"Washing dishes."
"No," she added to herself. It wasn't good that she'd been pleased that Annie was gay. Not good at all. She had no time, and Annie was too young, and their worlds didn't overlap, and lots of reasons why she shouldn't be thinking about how tall Annie was. Taller than Cindy by at least 5 inches.
"Have you been out on a glacier at midnight?"
"Well, I can't say that I have. I tend to be asleep by midnight." "The northern lights are casting pink right now. It's really spectacular reflected off the ice." Eve didn't hide her skepticism. "Is this a geologist's version of asking a girl to see her etchings?" Annie blinked.
I wasn't, I mean, you're the most interesting person I've talked to all night. I was going to go out and watch the lights later, and I thought... Eve tipped her head to one side and waited. Bingo. Annie blushed. It started low, just a faint pink at the cheeks, then it blossomed into a full-scale red that washed down to her throat. And after a couple of minutes of conversation, you thought I might want to see the lights, that's all. Right. The red deepened. Well, how cute is that? Eve asked herself. How surprising, too, that she took delight in torturing the woman into blushing, but it felt like a defensive tactic, like she needed to prove she could get under Annie's skin because Annie, able to express appreciation for something as simple as a deviled egg, might be able to get under hers. It had been a really long time since anyone had even tried to chat her up. She was over 30. By a year, and students were usually horrified by the idea of involvement with someone they'd call ma'am. Men seemed to appreciate her curves, which might be a little too plump at the middle, but still filled out jeans quite nicely, in her opinion. But not so much the lesbians. There just weren't that many of them in Fairbanks, and, well, the Monica Tyndalls of the world weren't interested in a curvy caterer. With someone like Tyndall around, those who might find Eve attractive were too dazzled to notice. Profs dated profs, or dabbled with their grad assistants. Anyway, Professor Tyndall wasn't her type, and she'd watched the good professor work a room at parties like this one dozens of times. She couldn't escape the feeling that even in an intimate relationship, Tyndall still worked it. Annie's blush was fading, and Eve thought she was on the verge of mumbling something and leaving, so she quickly said, "I guess the only way to prove the innocence of your intentions is to go with you and see if you spring any etchings on me." Annie blinked again, but this time there was an obviously appreciative gleam of humor in her eyes. "We'll see, then. I'll be out of here at 9:30 and probably done with what I need to do at home by 11. I have to go home first. Dirty dishes cannot wait for morning." "Okay. How about I pick you up?" Eve couldn't resist. "Didn't you just do that?" Annie blushed again. It was absolutely delightful. This blush wasn't as deep, probably because Annie was grinning. "Why, yes, I did. What's your address?" Eve told her how to find the house and spent the rest of the party in a subdued state of puzzlement and excitement, together with dread and curiosity. She hadn't been on a date in at least a year. What would she wear? Would she have time for a shower? She hadn't any clue what music was hot right now with the college crowd. That's what she got for having no space in her life for MySpace. The demon of self-doubt said things like, "She's just a kid and it won't last the summer," to which the angel of spontaneity asked, "What does that have to do with it?" Thank you for joining me for this reading from Warming Trend. Warming Trend is available from bellabooks.com in both print and ebook formats. For more information about the book, visit my website, callmaker.com, or search for me on Facebook.